Corey Emery Twigg is from the Kainai Nation of the Blackfoot Confederacy in southern Alberta. Troy graduated from the University of Lethbridge in 2003, and we just realized that I had the great honor of presenting him with his Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in Theater and Dramatic Arts in October of 2003. He is currently a master's candidate in dance at York University.
Oki, Nidanaku Gyayo Ketupi. My name is Troy Emery Twigg, and I am Blackfoot from the Kainai Reserve situated in southern Alberta. I'd like to share a story with you about myself and about what I went through in the educational system. Here I was, born, bred, and raised on the Blood Reserve, going to school. And before I knew it, I was given a diploma and pushed through grade 12. And not understanding how the real world worked beyond the reserve, I went out there to try and tackle the reserve and get a job, but my skills were very poor. I had graduated grade 12 and only able to read at a grade 8 level. And because of the Alberta school system, I wasn't qualified to receive my diploma, so I faced another challenge. I went to the Lethbridge Community College to upgrade my skills. And when I got there, I was sitting in a classroom all by myself and so nervous that I was in a different school system. I didn't have any other Aboriginal people around me or that support system, but when the classroom started filling out, I noticed that I was the only Aboriginal person there. And I was feeling very nervous already that I could not concentrate on what the material was. I couldn't place myself in Western history, and so therefore I couldn't comprehend the material. And when I was asked a question from the professor, I wasn't able to answer it, and I remembered the question. He looked at me and he said, "Troy, what's a monopoly?" And I sat there and I couldn't fake it. So I said, "I don't know the answer to the question." And he snickered and walked on by as other people laughed in their seat and kept their head forward, again feeling like the dumb Indian. I went to my elder, Raymond Many Bears, and he had told me, "When you go out there, this is what our story is. We were trained to be dumb people." I also want to share another story with you. I was walking to work one day after I had just completed doing my Bachelor of Fine Arts at the University of Lethbridge in theater. I took a year off and started working at the Lethbridge Shelter and Resource Center. And it is 90% Native American and who use the shelter and are mostly alcoholics. One summer morning I was walking to work. And I sat there across the park where they all drink and pass around alcohol and congregate. And there was this group of Native men standing in a circle, passing around a blue bottle of Finesse hairspray, no doubtedly trying to escape the reality and not wanting to become sober in the grown-to-be hot summer sun. And the policemen pulled up, and I was watching this kerfuffle going on. And there was a couple of them, and they were throwing people into the paddy wagon. And some just dropped their association, turned away, and walked away because they didn't want to be a part of that. They didn't want to go to jail. But there was a group of young Aboriginal men who walked away. And one started singing a Blackfoot song. And I found this really interesting as I sat down on the bench in the park and was watching this. And the two policemen just snickered at what these people were doing. And then he was joined by another man. And as they started walking, they were almost in this formation of a flock of seagulls, almost. And as they were walking away, the song became this disintegrating chant,
behind the buildings.
And it was very magical because I sat there, and this is where I received the most education about myself and empowered me when I sat there and things started to come to life through this man's music. And sitting there and looking at him, damaged, and his friends, and the other people pulled into the paddy wagon, I began to wonder, there's so much power in that song, there's so much pride that I felt in here and in here, and I began to feel robbed of my own culture in this system. So I started asking myself a question, why did that happen? Why did they get to that point? When referring to song and dance, I use the terms tools as a means of survival. Unlike the tools provided by the buffalo or that of Mother Earth's flowing water, natural resources, food, fire, and the warmth of the sun, Natusi. The tools of song and dance provide and preserve what is in the heart, mind, body, and soul of many cultures that ultimately distinguishes identity. It is in this paper that I will demonstrate the effects of how song, dance, and ritual demonstrate identity and how that is crucial to survival among the Blackfoot Nation. I will also discuss efforts that were used to suppress, diminish, and abolish these traditions and how the outcomes of such actions resulted throughout historical implications imposed upon the Blackfoot Nation. These are tools of teaching and tools to give back to all those who provided it to us to begin with. For many, this was all-inclusive as a way of life. I would like to begin by discussing where do these songs come from and how they are used in Blackfoot culture. To give you an example of its many usages, Elder Margaret Heineman, also known to us as Odan, explains childbirth and its traditional components. Many people today have no traditional knowledge of how our people were born in the past, or such details as the traditional raising of children, how they were taught and disciplined. I learned about childbirth by helping when my older sister had her baby at home. The widow of an old man named White Calf was living near us, and she knew about childbirth as an Indian midwife. She took care of my sister with herbal brews. She would use her own special plants, preparing them while singing her power song and praying, after which she made her drink mixture. Songs were used as celebration and in ceremonies. A lot of the songs are used as prayers as well as are very sacred and respected. Songs come to us from the spirit world, and that is how they are transferred to us. Olivia Tailfeather still uses this method when creating her contemporary work with the rattle and drum. An example was when she went to the river bottom and gave prayers to the spirits as the melody came to her from the beavers. What was exciting for her was watching the beavers play as she sang out to them and spoke to them in Blackfoot, and they gave her the beaver song. It is a roundette song and carries undertones of a blues melody when sung in English. Elder Andy Blackwater from the Blood Tribe states, "All songs and ceremonies come from the other side, from the spirit world, animal world. All our being is connected spiritually and physically to our homelands." To speak more in depth about the origins of songs, one of anthropologist Clark Whistler's informants of the Blackfoot Reserve, Duval, explains, "All Blackfoot songs, except those learned from other tribes, are said to have been obtained through dreams or visions. There seems to be no idea that one could deliberately compose a song. A man may be walking along and hear a bird, insect, stone, or something else singing. He remembers the song and claims it as especially given to him. A man may get songs from a ghost in the same way. There are many songs learned from other tribes as they come in with medicine bundles. In older times, when a teepee was transferred, all the owners of painted teepees would gather and help the purchasers out with new songs. Anyone may dream of songs as those of the Medicine Pipe, the Kit Fox Society, and the Horse Medicine. Those are very powerful, and it is dangerous to sing them as a joke. The doctors have their own songs, and often hear one of them accusing others of using songs in doctoring. A doctor must get his own songs and power and cannot transfer them to one another. Yet, when a great doctor dies, one may be given songs by his ghost in dreams or vision.
Dancing was given as a tool for celebration, giving thanks to the Creator and His many blessings. Movements are generally up and down motions while dancing in sacred ceremonies. In many songs and other parts of the rituals where the initial receiving of power is symbolized, the leader and his assistants often make a gesture as a receiving sign. In some cases, the arms are folded on the breast as if embracing an object, and an exclamation of satisfaction is uttered. Again, a movement from the heart may be made with one hand only. In some songs and parts of ceremonies, as when the sun pole at the sun dance is up, the singers make motions with their arms to symbolize the flapping of wings of the eagle or other mythical birds. Some elders say that this is resembling the receiving sign or symbolizing a bird of prey or on the hunt. In most of the signing, it is custom for the leader to make gestures or signs expressing some of the ideas in the songs.